this way.
Okay, well, we can start with that, but let's first, it is running now?
Yep.
Okay. You want to tell us the date and who we all are?
It is May 5th, it's Friday, 2006, and we're with Conrad and Nina Berkman, who John Cowling and I are here, and John has put together some thought-provoking questions. And part of the procedure is that this tape will be transcribed, and we will give you the transcription to look at to see if there's any errors got into it. You might have said something you didn't want to say, or things you forgot you want to add. So you get a chance to edit it before it goes anywhere. Then the copies of that will be kept at Mill Race, and the library keeps it also in the local history room. And you're probably aware that the township has finally started a historical commission, and John and I are part of that, so it'll also be kept there. That we're doing people, city and township, recognizing way back when the township was mostly farmers, the population wasn't that great, and a lot of people who have lived in the city for years know that a lot about the township just because they were here. And so you have to be our first person that the two of us work together on. So.
Okay, just to break the ice, I think we were talking about the Yerkes family, how do you tie in with that? Most of the people here know that William Yerkes' house is in the Mill Race Village.
Right.
As my understanding, that they had no children.
But this is Robert Yerkes' house.
Robert Yerkes.
Yeah, and my mother was a Yerkes. This house was built by my great-grandfather.
Do you know about how old the house is?
Oh, exactly.
Okay.
Built in 1869.
Okay.
There's a plaque out there on the porch. So states. And it is in the historical society. And my great-grandfather built the house, and my grandfather and his wife lived in Milford. They had a mill up in Milford. And I never was real clear on whether they just decided to move their mill down here, or whether they moved down here to take care of my great-grandmother or great-grandfather when their spouse passed away. But my grandfather moved down here and started the lumber yard next door. And he ran the lumber yard down there for all his adult life. And my uncle, his son, took the lumber yard over and ran it until he wanted to retire. And he would have dearly loved me to take it over, but I just wasn't a lumberman. I just didn't like the lumber business.
What did you do for a living?
Well, let's see. Back in that time, I was working for a finance company. And I worked for a finance company in Detroit, and I worked for one in Wayne. And while I had the one in Wayne, I kind of got a little excited one day and said some things to my supervisor that I regretted after, and quit. And I came home, and the phone just rang off the hook for 3 days. Finally, a car loaded up and drove over here to supervision. He wanted me to come back and wanted me to take the office up in Saginaw. I thought what a great idea that was. And then I found out it was the pits of the earth. So we moved up to Saginaw for a couple of years. And I got in enough trouble up in Saginaw, so they brought me back. It was very good up in Saginaw. I won the Man of the Year award twice up there. They only gave it to me once because that was a finance company. I bought Plymouth Finance, and I owned Plymouth Finance for a month. I bought the credit bureau actually while I had the finance company. And partners turn out dumbing the books on me at the finance company. And the deal was I wanted to be bought from Claire. So I took the credit bureau. When I had the credit bureau, and we bought the one up in Brighton, and then the one up in Howell, and then the one in Birmingham. So we had a few. And finally, in most of this time, I was published in a little tabloid called the National Billiard News. That's when you pulled from this money. And my mother got sick. And so I kind of curtailed my activities by the business. And so we sold it. And I guess just one.
It was,
my dad thought I'd probably never find another job again. But I told him I did.
You're retired?
Yeah, I still do the billiard news.
Getting back to your ancestry, the Yerkes family was one of the early families to move into this area.
Yes.
But I've been told that your mother was a member of the DAR.
Oh, yeah.
That means that they were in this country back in the 1700s.
I want to say you got to research your ancestors and you got to show actual fact on the ancestors who fought in the Revolutionary War. And I want to say that we had 7 or 8 that she authentic. Oh yes, I was in the CAR yard for a while. That's the children who married me.
When you say when they came to this country, you mean anywhere in the country, not necessarily in Northville?
No, in what is now the United States, but if they came here before 1776, it wasn't the United States.
How about 1700?
1700.
Anthony Yerkes in Pennsylvania.
So the family came here from Pennsylvania?
Actually, was it Pennsylvania or New York, kind of? This side of the Yerkes came from?
Well, there's one side of the Yerkes that came from Pennsylvania, one side that came from New York.
Yeah,
and I think we came from Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. My side came from Pennsylvania.
You're unusual, because most of the people around here came from New York. That was all because of the Erie Canal.
Yeah.
We dug into it. It's predominantly New York people in here. So you're different. Pennsylvania, there's not many of them.
We had, at one time, in the early years, my great-grandfather and his brothers, and my grandfather and his brothers owned about 3/4 of the land in and around Northville Township. They all had big farms, had a lot of land.
Some of the records we've gotten into, we find the original land grants to the Yerkes family for parcels around here, with Granville, one of the presidents.
Would that have included, right now, what is basically downtown Northville? Area here? Or?
Yeah, it would have included this area here, mm-hmm. but not necessarily downtown.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's close by.
The William House, that's down in the mill race. Now that house, that farm would have covered all the area where the racetrack is now at one time.
You know, if you don't have it, that the copies of the original land grants are available on the internet. So you get to.
We've got some over there.
Okay, how about your boyhood? Now, if you're my age, basically, you started becoming aware of things during the Second World War.
Right.
How did that affect Northville around here? The Ford plants, I know, went into war production.
They went into war production My father worked at bomber plant, Kelsey Hayes, bomber plant. And I remember, I would have been 5, 6 when the war started. And I remember when they tore out the railroad tracks.
Okay.
I do remember when the interurban tracks were there. I have no recollection of the actual interurban, but I do know the tracks were there.
Do you remember where the depot was? I know I've read several things. I'm always confused exactly where the depot was.
I don't know.
I think the interurban actually went out of business before you were born.
Yeah. But the tracks were still
there. The tracks were still there.
And they tore those up for the war effort. Used the steel for the war. And they tore them up, you know, all the way down to 5 points where they ran.
Did you have air raid practice here in North Carolina?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And how'd that work? So they went and then you had to turn the lights out?
Turn the lights out and go to the basement.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that. I was pretty young when that happened. But I was actually born in Detroit, and I moved out to Northville with my folks when I was about 3. The house. Excuse me. Sorry. They bought a house on top of Fairbrook Street. A little Greek revival up there on the north side of Fairbrook.
Is that house still standing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, still standing. And then when my grandmother died, they moved down to the farm here to take care of my grandfather. And I was about 6, I guess.
You're here in about the 50s?
That's right, 56.
How did you meet this guy?
We were both going to Perry College.
Oh. Okay. And you mentioned earlier you were from the Upper Peninsula.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what did you think of Northville when you came here?
I liked it. Okay. Yeah, it's a little town.
What was it like at that time?
Oh boy. Well, one thing I liked about it, you had all the small stores where you could get clothes, you could get shoes, you could get sheets. You could be running for a night, you still running for so long. But I would say that. Mostly
what? It was the grocery store in town at that time.
Oh, we had several.
It's like A&P was up on Main Street. Yeah. And they still had, they always, you know, when you sweep wood floors and stuff, mm-hmm. That stuff was spread out.
Mm-hmm.
They still had that stuff on the floors up there. Vaguely remember occasionally you go in there. That was on Main Street.
Okay.
And we had C.F. Smith.
Okay. Kroger's was where CVS is today, I believe, wasn't it?
Before it was Main Street and Hutton.
Before that, it was in that building on the corner of Main and Hutton.
Okay.
Right across from the Presbyterian Church.
Yes. The one that's now Main Street Bank?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Roger Christensen owned that.
Okay.
He used to have a farm implement supply business there. And when he decided to go out of business, he talked to my dad long and hard about what he was going to do with that piece of land. And they decided that my dad advised him to build a building on it. And he did, and he immediately rented the building to Kroger. So, but that's...
And there was an electronics store uptown, too.
Mm-hmm.
Electric, something called Electric, I think, and a hardware store on Center Street.
I remember the hardware store on Center Street that had just got piled to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Ellis Electronics.
Yeah, that was when Ellis was next to Virgin Medicis today.
Yeah, Ellis was, Ellis would have been right next to the shoe store. So
okay.
It would have been right with Genetti's. No. That was a little grocery store.
Genetti's was a grocery store, then there was an electronics store next to that.
Right.
When we moved here, that was mid-70s.
Right.
Was there a hardware store in Main Street? Besides the one on Center?
Yeah.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Right in the corner. There was one 2 doors down from where the one on on Center Street was, where the record, the North Hill Record Building is. That was a hardware store.
My first recollection, North Hill, you had angle parking downtown, and on the north side, you had a high curb to get the sidewalk. I remember that.
And then let's see, we are already going up Main Street from the what was the hardware store. And the next thing they had was a meat market. And then next to the meat market was the pool room, and then next to that was Chevrolet dealership.
Well, that's before my time.
I vaguely remember some of the car dealers. I keep trying to remember who was where.
Chevrolet dealer was there.
It was a Dodge
car dealer across the street.
Okay, and the Dodge dealer where Garden is today, if I recall.
No, that was Chrysler.
Okay, Chrysler.
The Plymouth Dodge dealer was down where LaSalle Bank is.
Okay, all right.
They were in that building.
It was a Chrysler Road Garden Beef.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Gulf gas station besides.
Right.
As a young man here, what did you do for fun? To go up to Wall Lake or?
Oh, yeah. I lived at Wall Lake in the summer.
They were still going to Wall Lake when I arrived.
Okay. I used to, when I was a kid, I roller skated a lot. And Riverside over in Plymouth is where I skated. And they'd close. And when they closed, everybody would go up to Wall Lake. Skate at the rink up in Wall Lake. Tiny little. Yeah, the rink was probably not any bigger than this inside of the house here.
Did you just go skating up there, or did you go dancing, or did you go to
no,
the amusement park? Or?
Oh, the roller rink was right in the amusement park. Yes?
Nothing. Did you go to the ballroom up there? Did you go to the ballroom up there? I've heard not much about it.
When I was a little kid, yeah.
We used to go up there, and when they had one of the big bands up there, we'd go there a lot of times and listen. After we got through skating. But really, the roller rink was in the amusement park, but we never really went up there and rode the rides and that kind of thing. When I was a kid, I used to make a fairly decent income. Kind of hung out at the drive-in in Novi, which is now there's an auto parts store there now. And I had a pretty fast car.
Novi was basically a Four Corners at that time.
Oh, yeah. And I'd take on all comers. $10 a year.
That's how you first got interested in billiards?
Huh?
That how you first got interested in billiards?
No, I was drag racing.
Oh, drag racing. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, $10 a year.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And one day the Novi cop came up to the drive-in, asked me if I'd go for a ride with him. I said, yeah, sure.
Was it your comment?
I wondered where that went. Where did you have it, John?
It was in my desk. When I was doing this thing before, when you were,
yeah.
What?
Never mind.
Oh, okay.
And, I got in the car. He had this 50 Ford. Oh, and it was all scooped up. You would have thought it was just a nuts of a car. He went roaring up over the Novi Bridge. And he says, "Man, what do you think of that?" And I said, and he would kind of give me a hump and drop me back off the driver. And the next day, a cousin of mine, whose name was Edmund Verkes, well, he was my mother's second cousin. He came down to the house, and he started telling me, boy, what he was going to do to me, he was going to so far back in the can that I would never get out. And my mother was just thunderstruck. She had no idea what he was talking about. And after she said, what was he talking about? I said, front. I don't know, you know. Crazy head, you know. But that, back in those days, of course, I mean, you could drive from here to Novi, and if you passed somebody in the street, that was really something, you know. Same thing going out Sheldon towards Plymouth. I mean, you can go from here to Plymouth in 4 minutes. Like nothing.
It's still your roads then, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
This isn't my recollection, but I do recall going from Grand River up to Wall Lake, and there was nothing but woods. Where all those big supermarkets and now the malls and stuff are now.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That was just, it was all. And when you left here and went down 8 Mile Road, when you crossed Meadowbrook Road, the only thing down there was a country club. And from there to Farmington Road, it was just farmland.
Well, a lot of the roads out here were dirt roads back in the 40s and 50s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was.
Like Beck and Haggerty. And
Sheldon was dirt. Haggerty was dirt. 8 Mile was pea pebble and tar. But most of the other roads around here were gravel roads. Yeah, Sheldon was gravel road. From where Baseline ends up here, and there out was gravel, and went down as far as the racetrack, and as soon as you got to the end of the racetrack, it's still gravel all the way over to Michigan Avenue.
The main part of town wasn't gravel?
No, from the racetrack on,
yeah.
It was gravel.
I thought you said from Baseline down, it was gravel.
Oh, no.
You mentioned the racetrack. When I first came to this area, we had fairs out there. Do you remember the fairs?
Oh, yes. Oh, very well. I remember the fairs. I used to love it. They had fairs when we lived up on the hill right there. I used to sit out in our side porch all night and watch the Ferris wheel. And I just fascinated me.
So wish you were down there.
Yeah, and I didn't get down there nearly enough. That took me down about 3 times during the fair. That was about it. But then, of course, the racetrack came in, and my dad was the accountant for the racetrack for a while. He did that in addition to working out of the plant. That's when he started it. And I started working there at the racetrack when I was 13.
What did you do there?
I had a job that required a great deal of skill. I picked up paper with a stick in the bag.
Well, it's better than what I thought they might have had you doing. Thought they might have had you at the barn.
No, the barns. We did have to clean out the barns once a year. Yeah. We cleaned out the barns at the end of the meet. At one time. And other than that, they took care of the barns themselves. But I've done almost everything at the racetrack.
Is the river paved over like they have it now? The river runs under their parking area, their barn area.
I
never knew
that.
Yeah, Johnson Creek, if you're on 7 Mile there, it goes under the 7 Mile and then it disappears because it goes under the racetrack.
Okay, then.
Well, they didn't have that many. How many stables back there, back in the old days.
Now, when you were young, was the lake on 7 Mile still there next to the fish hatchery? People tell me there was a big lake there and 7 Mile didn't go through.
I remember the fish hatchery, but I don't remember particularly a big lake there.
Okay,
the
only
lake
there your time.
Was in Thompson's Gravel Pit,
yeah.
Which is up just past Beck. In fact, most of that lake was taken up. Blue Heron Point is built on.
Remember Thompson Field, the baseball field there? No, 6 Mile?
Oh.
That was a baseball player.
Yeah, 6 Mile and Beck. And also, they used it for model airplanes. Lapham Field, I think it was called at that point.
Yeah. Clapham Field.
Yeah, these days they do model airplane under there. They still went out.
Here's another question that I've wondered about. When you were young, all of the institutionalized processes were going on, the psychiatric hospital, the group home, not that, whatever they call it, the train school, Tehoko, even though it wasn't in Northville, was part of this community. And, was there any concern about these things in the community?
Not that I remember. And not only that, we had East Lawn Sanitarium, which is now Allen Terrace. We had East Lawn, and we had Mayberry. We had two big TV stands here, in addition to all the other stuff. But I don't remember any concern at all over that. We used to play baseball against the training school every once in a while.
With the school?
The school?
No, not the school. This would be the summer league, the American Legion.
Okay.
Summer league. Play against.
So what would, getting back to you, we don't want to keep you out of the question.
Well, that's good. He knows much
he's
more.
He's doing a great job. But how would you say, what would you say are the biggest changes here since you first moved here in the 50s, other than numerous subdivisions?
Well, this kind of has something to do with subdivisions, but I'd say the big change is when they put in the new 8 Mile Road.
Okay. Did it come through here when you first moved here?
Oh, it wasn't there.
That wasn't there. Okay. The route came through.
This was the main road.
It stopped at Sheldon, didn't it? It started up on the other side, up by Taft, because it was blocked by the hill, primarily.
Right. But there wasn't that much traffic then, either.
No. Very little traffic, yeah. That's the big change.
Was Parmeter's going strong in you?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
You've been here a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here ever since I've been here.
That traffic, Parmeter's traffic ever bother you here? Does your team sometimes?
It doesn't anymore because they've added a lot of parking area down there. But 10 years ago, the cars would be parked on both sides of the street, all the way up to Horton. And
is that before the 8 Mile was put it through there?
Oh,
you get the business then?
Yeah,
I think so, because I can remember it way back then with all the traffic and all the cars. So before they put in the big parking lot,
they didn't have horse rides and all that kind of stuff.
Back to the lumberyard, because I've heard there's some unique structure in that shed that's next to the railroad. About how thick the walls are was used for something at one point.
My son
had a tour one day and they were showing him all this, how that shed is built, and it was right next to the railroad tracks. Like it was heavy duty.
I was ever aware that that was so heavy duty. The big building in the middle, that was pretty heavy. That was the grain building.
So the lumber and grain both.
Right.
Back when. That's probably, I think it was typically, a lot of those lumber yards were that way.
Right.
They were combined.
Yeah, it was a grist mill.
Okay. Now, do they do their own grinding there, or does somebody do it, they bring it in? Or?
Oh, no, they did it there. And when I was a kid, there was a siding, railroad siding. Well, in fact, it's still there. It came right into the lumber yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have to do that periodically. Go help my uncle and his guys on one of the boxcars full of lumber.
What did they use for power for the grist mill?
You know, I think as far as I can remember, they used electric power. In great big, enormous pulleys, belted pulleys.
Okay. Yeah, way back when everything's running belts and pulleys.
Yeah.
It's typical. What other shopping do you remember in town? They have, like we talked about the grocery stores, but I know, I kind of recall the Rexall drugstore, but I don't know what else was down there.
Well, there was two drugstores.
Okay.
There was Rexall's on the corner, mm-hmm. and then down where the Kitchen Witch used to be,
okay.
that was Stewart's drugstore.
All right.
And both of them had soda bars.
How about the soda shop up there?
Oh yeah, Cloverdale.
No,
yeah, but Cloverdale was too. Cloverdale was the original soda
yeah.
shop.
When they tore down the Sheehan building, they came across the thing. Apparently there was a enterprise called the Blue Whale, I believe it was. It was in there. Some of Felino ran.
Blue Whale? I never heard that called the Blue Whale. It's called Paul's Sweet Shop.
Yeah, but there's another thing that replaced that. Someone actually unearthed the original sign someplace that Belrays now has it.
Oh, yeah.
And they found it, they were tearing it down, they found some pieces of paper, and there were kids apparently signed it from one of the Brazier kids' names was on this piece of paper they found in the building.
Oh, jeez.
Who's he?
One of the Brazier boys.
Brazier boys.
And found this piece of paper, and that was the first thing we knew this other name even existed. And Mary Ware had a contact, and it turns out these signs were over in the west side of the state, and they brought them back over here.
Well, I can remember when it was Paul's Sweet Shop.
Okay.
That's the one I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
And then down where Rebecca's restaurant is on Center Street, there was a Cloverdale Dairy there.
I remember that. The big lines for ice cream cones. I know we
yeah.
had.
Yeah.
Remember when Guernsey was just a little square building like this down the hill of Sheldon Road.
Where the UPS store is.
Okay.
Yeah. When they started a little teeny building.
I remember the kidded people coming to get buttermilk in Novi. That's why it was a big
thing. Name of this buttermilk.
When I was...
And the bowling alley is gone.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in seventh grade, of course, back then we had study halls in school, and you had multiple grades in the study hall. And I sat between two junior girls when I was in the seventh grade, and they were cheerleaders. Boy, and they used to just beat me like a drum. I can't imagine I ever did anything to deserve it. But the summer they took a liking to me, and it was just about the death of my mother. They took me to the football games and basketball games for them. And one of the girls had a car. And I just worried my mother, she just was having a nervous breakdown every time I left the house with them. But they always took good care of me. They parked me up in the bleachers right where they could see me. And, how many seventh graders would call all the away games, you know. And after the game, they'd go to the dance. But before they went to the dance, they'd take me up to Paul's and get me outfitted with a hamburger and a milkshake and then take me home.
Where was the school at that time?
The school was the old high school.
The old high school up on the hill?
Mm-hmm. Uptown.
Yeah.
Yes. The little school down on Main Street.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Old Main.
Old
Board of Ed offices these days.
Right.
Did that house all the grades in?
Yeah. No, that housed the 7th through 12th. The grade school was next door.
Okay.
You're facing it to the right. Which I think is still part of education, isn't it?
Yeah, they occupy the whole building, and there's a daycare or something in there also in that west end.
But, that was...
So the entire grade school through high school was all contained in that one building at that time?
No, just 7th and 8th.
Okay.
7th grade through 12th was in the old building.
Okay.
Then the newer brick building was the grade school, kindergarten mm-hmm. through... 6th.
Oh, where the senior center is now? That building? I'm trying to picture what building it is.
Well, you're facing You're facing the old high school.
Yeah.
It's to the right of that.
Be down where the daycare is.
Yeah.
That's two buildings? I guess that was one building there.
No, there's two.
There's two.
Okay. Now that new building, where the senior thing was, that wasn't even there. That was when I graduated.
Okay.
That was built after I graduated.
You were living at the time you had a big plane crash in town and somebody lost an airplane. It was towards downtown, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was, I don't remember exactly where it was. It was somewhere down there. My cousin set one down in our field one day. And never flew again.
Is there anything else, or is there anything you'd like to talk about that we haven't discussed? Well, tell us, how did you get involved with the billiards thing? Were you on a national level or international level? Or just
I was quite international.
Yeah.
Well, when I was, I was probably 24, 25 when I went out and I played in that pool league. Was I older than that?
I think you were older, but you weren't bad.
I played I kind of got trapped on pool after I saw The Hustler. And I started playing up in Saginaw. Oh, yes, I was older than that. Sure I was. And when we moved back from Saginaw, I played in a league that at the Cushion and Pew, or then it's Cushion and Pew, it's now called Snookers. And it's down the Inkster Road and Expressway. And part of the deal with playing in the league was that you had to referee his pool tournament every year, act as a referee. And so I did my bit. And there was a fellow there by the name of Joe Farhat who had driven down from Lansing to see this. And he ran a lot of tournaments in Lansing. And after he says, "Boy, you know, you're a pretty good referee." He says, "How would you like to come up and do my tournament in Lansing?" And I said, "Well, yeah, sure." Well, then the next year, the United States Open was in Lansing. And I did the Open also. And the first match I drew in the Open was Irving Crane and Joe Balsas. And they're two Hall of Famers, and I was probably, I was just scared to death. And after the match, Crane walked up to the tournament director and he said, "That fella's the first fella that knows the difference between a safety and a foul. I want him to do all my matches." And as it turned out, he was in the finals with Balsas. And they had local television there, televised locally in Lansing. And so I was the referee. And the next year, I was in Las Vegas at the Sahara. They had ABC's Wide World Sports televising. And they said, "Well, we've got to have a referee that has some television experience." Well, I said, "Well, I am." And so I did all the ABC Wide World Sports telecasts until they stopped doing them. But I was well regarded by the players.
Obviously, they wouldn't have you doing what you did.
I never played favorites. I didn't care how big the guy was, no matter how kind of great player he was. Either we fouled it or we didn't. So, and I really enjoyed it. I kind of lost interest in it when they switched from straight pool to nine ball. I mean, it doesn't take, and they don't call fouls in nine ball.
town. I mean, it's, you can referee 10 tables in one. You sure can. Straight over. I mean, you got to keep your mind.
Do you play pool?
I have in the past, but I've never got beyond the pocket pool table. Actually, I was pretty good for a while.
Amateurism at its worst.
The what?
Amateurism at its worst.
Oh, I see.
That's me.
Well, I, and then from there I started running tournaments. Started running professional tournaments. I'd be the head referee and run a tournament too. And, pool on television?
Once in a while.
The girls? There's a girl, a very, very pretty girl by the name of Eva Lawrence. And, well, she's from Sweden. And when she first came over here, she married a friend of mine. And they were having a little tournament up in Milwaukee. And they were having it in an old high school gymnasium where they had a stage on one side of it, you know. And they converted the stage into a coffee shop. And I was the head referee for this tournament, and went into the, I was sitting up in the coffee shop talking to Eva. And she had this little Shih Tzu dog with her called Rocky. We'd been chit-chatting about 10 minutes, and all of a sudden they called over the PA system to report the table something. She said, "That isn't right. I don't play till 3 o'clock this afternoon." Carolyn, if they're calling you, you'd better go, because they'll forfeit you in 15 minutes. Oh my gosh, she says, "Oh, here, take Rocky." She dumps this dog on my lap. So there I'm sitting, drinking a cup of coffee, talking to Rocky, and I got a call to go on the floor, make a call on a hit. I looked around, there wasn't one soul on that stage. I just stuck old Rocky under my arm, and I walked out there on the floor, and this girl's name was Jerry Ng. And I said, "Go ahead." She says, "What is that?" I said, "Oh, this is my CNI dog. One bark is a good hit, two barks is bad." I think she missed that thing by 3 feet. Don't forgive me for that. In fact, she doesn't to this day.
Well, you've been in Earth a long time, haven't you?
Moved in 74.
Okay, I think it went that further than that. Maybe it's because your wife is interested in the history,
yeah,
or something.
We moved here in 74, but we had a family cottage in South Lyon, so we used to pass through once we were regular headed to South Lyon. That's how I remember some of the downtown
cars.
You must have
been one of six in South Lyon, huh?
We were further out than that. To get this place, this farmer owned the land, he leased the land the building sat on. It was a mile drive through his barnyard to get down to the houses.
Oh, boy.
Well, is there anything else anybody could ask? If not,
and when did you move to,
pardon?
When did you move to the township?
Let's see. I turned 40 here. He's turning 72 this month, so that's 32
that
years.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, you're a good deal older than I am.
I'm 71 right now, and you're 71. I won't be 72 for another couple of weeks.
I'll get both of you beat. 74.
Okay, well,